chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now, I'm very serious to you tonight. I believe part of my assignment is to help bring you to the next level of faith. We have to get to a place where we can believe God for anything and for everything in this life that we need to be successful and prosperous. Sometimes you have to come back and define what prosperous is or prosperity, because people just focus on money or the aspect of money. But, you know, prosperity is not, it's really not even about money. It's about having the overflow in every area of life. What would you think if you had billions of dollars, but you were in a hospital sick and couldn't get out of bed? You see, prosperity has to do with every facet of our life. And we have to keep rising, if you will, in our level of faith so that we can have faith to do whatever God has called us to do and be whatever God has called us to be. Now, I want you to get what I'm saying tonight, because really, if I had to put a title on this message to you tonight, I would title it, Wake Up Your Faith. Look at somebody and say, wake up. I want you to be wakened up in your faith, because your faith, and I'm gonna help you in just a minute so that you can activate your faith. Now, I'm gonna read some things here to you out of the scriptures. I'm sure some of you, you know, you've heard these scriptures a few times, but I need to come back and set some groundwork here for some things that I'll be sharing a little bit later on. But let me read out of 1 John chapter 5. If you've got it, say, I got it. And verse 1. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him, who begot also, Lord help him. Lord help him. Lord help him. Thank you, Jesus. Whoever is born of God, look at this, and everyone who loves Him, who begot also loves Him, who is begotten of Him. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God. We're going to have some usher help. Are we having ushers in here tonight? We have an excellent. We have an excellent nursery. And the nursery, I know children, you got to put yourself in their place, okay? When they're not used to being in church, you know they're going to be a little fussy. So that's why we have nursery. That's why we have children's church. But not to babysit, but to help train children, okay? So please don't get offended. We love everybody, but we don't want to distract anybody from receiving what the Word of God has. That's why we separate everybody out here, because we need to get our hearing ears on. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And we don't want to let the enemy, if you will, take us off of what God has for us. Okay? And so we gotta tune in, and we gotta focus in on the Word. We gotta learn that we have to juice the Word. The Word is like a shell. You know, like an orange. You don't eat the peeling, but you peel it and you get to the goody, you get to the juice, you get to the good part, right? Well, the Word is like a shell, okay? But you got to get what's in that Word. And that Word, see, is what brings you revelation and illumination, okay? And so the enemy, you know, wants us to think that we are of another way, another system. But I'm sharing with you tonight that if you have faith, then you have an advantage over the world. If you have faith, you have an advantage over the world to overcome anything that the world throws at you.
Amen.
Now let's read it here, okay? Let me start over again. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And what? And His commandments are not burdensome. Now look at this. Follow this. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Are you born of God tonight? Then you have overcome the world. I said you have over, not you will overcome, not you shall overcome, you have overcome the world. There is on the inside of you a force called faith. Now look at this. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Or our faith is the New King James. But what we have to understand is that it is our faith. God gives us our faith. It's up to us to develop our faith. It's up to us to let our faith grow and to become strong, because it tells us, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
How many of you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
So, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then the victory that overcomes the world and everything in it, it is done and it is accomplished by faith. And you have that faith on the inside of you. Now, the world could mean a lot of different things. But to you and I, it means the system. Because we understand there is the kingdom of God and there is the kingdom of the world, or the kingdom of darkness. We have been born again by the Spirit of God, and we belong to Jesus, and we are part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of the world, or the world, is a system that is designed to fail. It is designed by Satan, and when the world gets caught up in that, then the world is at a disadvantage. And the point I'm making to you is that when you have faith on the inside of you, you have an advantage that a person in the world does not have. The world is designed to keep you in bondage. The world is designed to keep you in debt. The world is designed to keep you below and not above. The world is designed to keep you being the borrower and not the lender. The world is designed to keep you the tail and not the head. Are you listening to me? But when faith is activated and faith is part of your life, listen, then you have an advantage over the world and over the system of the world that you cannot have apart from faith.
Amen.
And so when we get to see this, but with faith, you have an advantage over the world that you can overcome. It doesn't matter if it's sickness, if it's debt, if it's disease, or if it's poverty, whatever it is, faith will overcome it. Now, in order for faith to overcome, first of all, you got to believe that you have it. And you got to believe that it can be developed. And you got to believe that it can grow. And I want you to turn over to the book of Hebrews, and let's look at all this, because there is an unlimited, say unlimited, power available to us. Faith is a force. I'm sharing some things with you here before I do what I want to do tonight. Because faith is a force, and faith is both a destructive force and a constructive force. Are you with me, church? A destructive force because it can tear down the walls that Satan tries to put between you and your freedom. It is a constructive force because we can use faith like God uses faith, because it is the God kind of faith that we have. When we say our faith, it's because God gave it to us, but it's really His faith or the faith of God that is in us. Amen. Does everybody understand that? And the Bible says that with our faith, the God kind of faith, that we can speak to mountains and those mountains have to be removed. Mark 11, 22 and 23. You remember that verse? So the mountains represent the obstacles that stand in our way. The mountain represents the system of the world. But when we speak words of faith, words that construct, then we have by faith the force working to remove those mountains out of the way and put them in the sea. So it's important that you see that it is both a destructive force, but it's also a constructive force, because our words that we speak are like those containers that will produce what we say. So we have to... let me just go here and read it, because we're going to find out that what we do is that we frame our world just like God did when God said there was light. See, light was created by the faith of God, by the word that He spoke. And we're going to find out that we create our world. What kind of world are you creating? I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, what kind of building are you building? But see, you're going to be building and framing your world by the words that you speak. What are you saying? Because it tells us right here, it says, now faith, look at Hebrews chapter 11, are you there? I said, are you there? Amen. All right. Faith is a creative force. And look at this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope means to have a red hot, burning, earnest expectation of things that you desire. How many of you desire good things? Amen. How many of you desire health and happiness and wholesomeness and all of that overflow? How many of you desire that? See, there's some people, I don't know if they desire anything. They're just happy, I guess, being miserable. Happy letting the devil rub them into the rug. But I'm telling you, you need to rise up and come up to another level of faith, because the Bible says there's nothing impossible to those that believe God. Well, I have to have an expectation, because it says it is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is that red hot, that, you know, your neck up in the air and stuck out, and man, you see this thing and you can taste it. The evidence is things that you can't see physically, and this is why people step out of faith, because they want to see it before they believe it. But see, the evidence is in your heart. The evidence is wrapped in the Word of God, because you have milked or you have juiced that Word, that you know, that you know on the inside of you, that what God has said, what God has spoken, and when you come into agreement, and agreement means that you say the same thing God says. In other words, when I find out what God says about me, I can say what God says about me. When I find out what I can do, what God says I can do, then I can do what God says I can do. When I find out what God says I can be, then I can say the same thing God says and be what God wants me to be. If we're not careful, we'll be saying what the world says about us. If we're not careful, see, we'll let the circumstances cloud us, if you will, or blind us, or obscure our vision of our faith. But we're looking for evidence first in here, not out here. Because sometimes it don't look like it's working. But we know the Word is working mightily in us. Come on. We know the Word is working mightily in us. It is reaching out and it is pulling down. It is destroying the works of the devil. And at the same time, it's building on the inside of us the goodness and the blessing and the promises of God. I'm glad y'all are excited today. He said, by faith, look at this,
Verse 3. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, we have to develop our faith. The more that we develop our faith, the greater results that we will have. The stronger we can believe what God says, the more we're going to see what God says that is ours. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, and I told you a while ago that there is a spirit of faith. There is a spirit of faith in this church. And I had some other things I was going to share today, but the Lord, we're coming to a place. Look, exactly what here's what the Lord spoke to me. We're coming to a place where nothing shall be impossible for this church. Amen. You're coming to a place where nothing shall be impossible in your life. Amen. This is why you've got to grow. This is why you've got to say, Lord, I am ready to go to another level in my faith. Amen. Look at this verse. Verse 22, Hebrews chapter 10. It said, let us draw near. Who are we going to draw near to? I said, who are we going to draw near to? We're not drawing near to the pastor. Thank God that you like me. But we're talking about drawing near to Jesus. Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega. Jesus is the author and the finisher. Amen? He's the perfecter of our faith. All right? He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast, here we go, the confession of our hope. Our confession. If you have King James, it says profession, but the word is confession. What is confession? Confession is saying the same thing God says. Amen. In fact, Christianity was called in the first century, it was called the religion of the great confession, because people would confess what the word said. And you know, we find out that that's the way we get saved, isn't it?
Amen.
Okay, so he says that you're to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he, read the last part with me. For he who what? Is what? Oh, that means God is not a man that can lie. He is not a liar. He is truth. See, the world is built on, the system is built on lies. But God is built on truth. Are you with me? Now come over here to verse 35. It says, therefore, now here's what I want you to see. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't throw away your confidence. In other words, don't throw away your faith. Don't downplay your faith. Some people don't put a premium on faith, but faith is what is going to be used as a force in your life to construct the blessing and the attitude, if you will, of nothing is impossible with my God.
Amen.
There is nothing too difficult for my God.
Amen.
He said, don't you cast away that confidence. Don't let the enemy pull you back because of the circumstances or because of the situations and the things that you're facing. He says, for you have need of endurance so that after you have done what? Oh, do you think it's important that we find out what the will of God is? See, all this comes together now. It says that you may receive the promise. That you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Verse 38 says, and now the just shall live by faith. Say it with me. Say, the just shall live by faith. Say, I'll be the just, and I will live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Oh, praise God. He said, but if anyone draws back, we are not supposed to draw back.
We are not supposed to fall down and not get. We fall down, but we better get back up. We are not supposed to go backwards. We are not supposed to keep looking back. We're supposed to be looking forward. Amen. Jesus, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, man. He says, we are not. He said, if anyone draws back, he said, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And then he goes on to say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Are you with me, church?
Amen.
I said, are you with me? So we are not of the people who draw back. We are the people that are on the horse. I said, we're on the horse. Amen. And we got the reins and we're moving on by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. The cloud is moving. The fire is blazing. And we're blazing along with the Spirit of God. Amen. We are not looking back. When we get knocked down, we get back up on our feet. Bless God. We don't let anything cause us to draw back. Woo! All right, now go to Romans chapter 4. Say this with me. Say, Lord, I'm ready to go to the next level of faith. I ain't even got to what I want to tell you yet. Romans chapter 4. Here's where we begin. Okay? See, I am whatever God says I am. I can do whatever God says I can do. And I can have whatever God says I can have. Now, that's not being arrogant. That's not being proudful. That's holding fast to your confession. This is where you've got to really understand faith, okay? Now, in Romans chapter 4, the first place that you and I must begin is that we have to be persuaded by the Word of God. What does it mean to be persuaded? Now that's the first place we got to go to, because what does it mean to be fully persuaded in our hearts? Because faith is going to reside where? It's going to reside, first of all, in our heart, and it has to be spoken out of our mouth. Now, what we speak out of our mouth, we must believe in our hearts. Are y'all here? I said, don't go to sleep just yet. Listen to me. You've got to be persuaded of what God's Word has said is the way that it will be. No matter what else, we have to be fully persuaded. Well, let's read here in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to the grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. And not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Do I have anybody here of the faith of Abraham?
Amen.
Okay. It says, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, and in the presence of him, listen, he believed God. He believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Did you catch that? Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. There it is again. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And, here we go, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief. You have got to make sure that you starve out your doubts. You got to make sure that unbelief is not residing on the inside of you. You are a believer, and your faith is a force that when that force is coupled or connected together with the anointing of God, and the anointing of God is smeared and rubbed on the things that need to be destroyed in your life, then they will be destroyed, because that is the anointing of God that will destroy yokes and lift burdens. But it's the same faith that will build those promises of God as a fortress in your life to cause the treasures of God to open from the heavens into your bosom. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Now look, he said he did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Now what I'm telling you tonight is that you've got to strengthen your faith. Your faith is like a muscle. Use it or lose it. Amen, as they say. Giving glory to God. And verse 21 says, and being fully persuaded. Look at this. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Did you see that? He was fully convinced. He was fully persuaded. Here's a statement for you. This is faith at its finest. Fully developed in faith is being fully persuaded in what God has promised and what He has said He is able to do. Did you get that? Faith at its finest is when you have developed a fully persuaded that you are confident, that you know, that you know, that you know whatever God has said, whatever God has promised, that He's able to do. You have to learn to let the Word, now listen, you have to learn to let the Word fully persuade you. You have to learn that you have to have confidence in God's Word. God's Word is the final authority. What God has said, because He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. In other words, God's Word has to be the first word and it has to be the last word. You didn't get what I said. You see, you've got to make sure that the Word of God is the first word you confess and it's the last word you confess. If you're trying to get out of debt, you confess the Word. Confess Romans 13:8. Oh, no man nothing but to love Him. That's the first word. You say, what's the last word? Romans 13:8. Oh, no man nothing but to love Him. What if you're sick? 2 Peter 2:24. By His stripes I am healed. Are you with me? That's the first word. And what's the last word? By His stripes, I am. Come on, somebody. That's because somebody's going to try to talk you out of that. Either the conditions or the circumstances or the pain or emotions or your mind or somebody is going to try to get you to alter what you believe God has said and what God has promised. But you, beloved, are fully persuaded that what God has said, that is what He will do, and He will do it for you. Fully persuaded is faith at its finest. That's why you and I have an advantage over the world. The world just has to lay and take whatever the world gives them. But you and I have an advantage by having the force of faith at work in our life. Oh, somebody praise the Lord. Now go over here one more scripture, Romans chapter 10. Are y'all here? Now here's what the Lord wanted me to give you and share with you, is that the Word of God will activate your faith. There you go. Faith believes before it sees it. Are you with me? The Word of God will activate your faith. What do I mean by activation? Well, activate means to start it up. To put it into motion. Just like I told you, you have to juice that Word so that you can get all of the goody out of that Word. You don't just read this word as a casual, oh, today I read 3 chapters and 14 verses more. What did it say? Well, I don't know. But see, it's not about how much you read a day. It's what you saw out of what you read. I'd rather you see some great, mighty promise of God in your heart that's there fully persuaded that God is able to do it than to tell me you read 16 chapters today. Amen. And didn't see a thing. That when you come to church, that you are zeroed in and you are focused in that, God, I am ready today. I am ready today to go. This is the core group. This is the group that is hungry. This is the group that wants to rise to a new level. Activate my faith, Lord. Crank it up. Start it up. Blah, blah, blah. You know, get it going. Get it going. Get it going. Yeah, see? Because that's faith at its finest, when you're fully persuaded. No matter what the devil's doing, no matter what you see around, no matter what people say, remember? It's what God has said, what God has spoken. Now let's finish this up, because the Word of God will activate our faith. Look at verse 6. It says, the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. That's not the way we talk. Jesus has already been resurrected. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He ever liveth tonight to make intercession for us. It says, but what does it say? How does faith talk? The Word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Every time I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching you the Word. I'm preaching you the word of faith. Every time I get up here and open my mouth, I'm preaching you word of faith, so that your faith can get strong, it can get fully developed, and it can rise to the level of the finest. When you find it in here, bless God, that is settled in my life. That is settled. That is settled. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Yeah. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But we know salvation is more than just going to heaven when we die. Salvation is the whole pie. I said it is the whole spectrum of everything that God is and everything that God has for your life. It is healing. It is prosperity. It is deliverance. It is everything you need pertaining to godliness in this life, to live in the natural and to live by the Spirit of God and the Spirit of faith. Everything. Say everything. But you got to believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth, just like you did to get saved. Then why do you want to back out of that and draw back when you get into other dilemmas in your life? Don't you know if you're broke, you need to be saved? Don't you know if you're in debt, you need to be saved? Don't you know if your children are in trouble, you need to be saved? Don't you know if there's a hurricane blowing, we need to be saved? If we call on the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. You don't tell I'm excited tonight, can't you? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew or the Greek. Between Mexicano or Mexicana. Americano, Indio. It doesn't matter. I said, praise the Lord too. Aren't you glad? For the same Lord, say the same Lord.
Overall
is rich. Oh my God is rich. Look, to who? To who? All who call upon him. Wow. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how shall they call on him if they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Thank God you got a preacher. How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Oh, not everybody's going to listen. Not everybody's going to obey. It says, who will believe our report? That's a quote out of Isaiah, remember? So then faith comes by hearing. And what? Hearing by the word of God. The New English, I looked up all the translations. The New English, you can come on up here, Mark. I'm almost through. The New English Bible translation says this. Just listen, we don't have that. Listen to this. We conclude that faith is awakened by the word. And the word that awakens your faith comes through the word of God. In other words, God has designed the word to awaken your faith. God has called me tonight to preach to you the word of faith, to awaken your faith, to activate, to start you up, bless God, and declare you're coming up to another level. You have faced a lot of devils, but you're coming up to another level, amen? And you're ready. Say, I'm ready. I'm ready for anything. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet. Stand up. Stand up. You are like the man in Luke 6:46, 48. Remember in there? The man who built his house on the rock. The storms came. The hurricane blew. But his house was not shaken. Are you with me? Because he not only built his house on the word, but he activated his faith to be a doer of the word. Hebrews 4:12, just listen. It says, the word of God is living. This is where I got the scripture, by the way, for the Living Word Church. The word of God is living and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Amplified says the word is energizing. Boy, every time I preach faith, I get energized. I tell you, it will activate you. If it don't activate you, your wood's wet. Amen. Another translation here says, for the word of God is alive and full of energy. Your pastor is alive and full of energy. But you know what? If you're full of the word tonight, you are alive and full of energy. You are alive and you're full of energy. Now, does that mean everything's 100% right all the time? That we never have any dilemmas or never any situations? No, it rains on the just and the unjust. The wind will blow on us just like it'll blow on the world, but we have something to stand against the wind. We have, say, I have an advantage, over the world.
Over the world.
You know, in sports, they call it the home field advantage, right? The home field because the crowd. Oh, yeah, my team. But the Bible says we got a whole company of angels cheering us on. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want you to know.